You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Thank you for listening to Tough Things First. I'm Rob Artigo. I'm a writer and business owner in California. Hello, Mr. Zinn. Ready for another topic?
We are ready. So good to be with you today, Rob.
Thanks, Ray. Let's talk about the role of the CIO. Let's start simple. Like, what's the role of the CIO or the Chief Information Officer? What is it that the CIO should be doing at your company?
Depends upon the nature of your business. If, as a CEO or the leader, and you have a good, ability to communicate, or a good communicator, as you would, you don't need a CIO. A CIO is generally there for the business leaders that don't have that ability to communicate. You know, the story as told, of Moses, when God said, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses said, well, I'm not good at speech. I'm not a good communicator. And he said, okay, I'm going to give you a CIO. And he gave him Aaron. Mm-hmm. And so Aaron's going to be your CIO because you'll tell Aaron what you want to be conveyed, and then Aaron will go out and do that. And that's the way it was in leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, was that Moses was a CEO and Aaron was a CIO. So, if you're good at communicating, and this is a skill that has to be developed, you really don't need a CIO.
There is the other side of that, though. There is the CIO who has a technical obligation with the company, for example, information security.
You mean as a function?
As a function, yeah. A function of their job, right?
Yeah, it depends again the kind of company you run. I'm speaking globally now.
Sure.
So I'm not making it so company specific that saying, okay, they're responsible for the security, things that protecting the information of the company. Yes, that's true. They do have that, but that's specific to those organizations that have that sort of need for maintaining security on their information.
I was reading about this writer was, I think it was Wall Street Journal or Forbes, one of the two, but they were talking about the role of the CIO, and that a lot of companies that are startups, when they get large enough and they think they're going to go ahead and IPO, that's when they hire a CIO to come in. And when I first read CIO, I was thinking Chief Investment Officer, but I had to re-scramble my brains and figure out, oh, they meant Chief Information Officer. But his argument was that you needed one, and that you should bring this person in early on in the process, not right before you IPO, because then it takes them a lot to get up to speed. Is there a time when you feel a CIO is going to be appropriate for your organization?
If you're a very publicly, traded company and there is a lot of calls that come through, just random calls, and it's going to suck up your day so that you can't get anything else done. Sure. I mean, if you have somebody who can take those phone calls and take that off your plate, then certainly that person can perform that function. But I never like to talk to a CIO. I want to talk to the CEO. Whenever you're stuck with the CIO, you're just going to get the standard pat answer, whatever is in his purview. For he reads from the standard verbiage that he's allowed to tell you. You're not going to learn a lot. I mean, I very seldom learn very much from a CIO because they're just giving you what they're told to say.
Right, the pat answer, whatever the and some people would call it spin or the soundbite that they want to get out there, the messaging. You've probably seen this. I'll put my reporter hat on too. Is if you're watching a news program and you watch a live press conference and you see an information officer for somebody and they're asked a question, they might dance around in the first few words, but they'll bring it back to the messaging of the subject they want to talk about. So instead of answering the question from the reporter, they change it up and start speaking about the thing that they want to message. And then they're asked a follow-up question by somebody else, and they'll do the same sort of square dance with them in the first few words and then go back to saying that line again that they want to get out there so that they're always saying the same thing over and over again.
Well, you may know at press conferences with the president, he has his press secretary, you know, go out and communicate to the news media because the news media is going to dig. And so, you know, he's got to be very fast on his feet and have the ability to really communicate with the press corps without being offensive. And he has to dance around a lot, as we've seen recently. And because, you know, the questions are very negative and very pointed. And so he has to almost practice answering negative questions. So, you know, if I'm investigating a company or as a, you know, potential investor, I want to talk to the CEO, not the CIO. But the CEO tends to hide behind the CIO so that he doesn't have to have those difficult questions to answer.
Along those lines, let's say you're the business owner and you've decided that I can handle the information. I want some screening. You're going to have, say, you have several layers of people that somebody has to go through to get to you. So you're not bothered by calls all day long, but you will take the important ones and you will address things that are going to be publicly printed or recorded or whatnot. You leave the CIO out of it, but how do you make sure that you are sticking within the framework of what's responsible for your company when dealing with public speaking? When you have so many things going on, it's kind of easy to get distracted and you might get, you know, tripped up.
Well, I mean, that goes to the how good of a communicator you are as a CEO. At Micrel, I ran for 37 years. We never had a CIO. And so if it was just a random, you know, investor question, I'd let my CFO answer it or, you know, take the call. So my CFO effectively was like a CIO, even though he didn't have that function. But any of the tough questions, CFO would say, well, let me see if I can get Ray on the phone and we can talk about that. So he would then pass it over to me. So we never dodged, an investor. But if we could answer it without having to get me involved, then my CFO would take care of it. So in 37 years, I never had an official CIO.
And that would be exactly the opposite of what this writer was saying. He was saying, you've got to have a CIO, and you've got to have the CIO early on in the process, like one of your first hires. And so your argument is that it all depends on whether or not you or the people you already have working with you can fill that role as to whether or not you'll need it. Because I've seen some people out there who are, unfortunately, just because they haven't been around a long time and they don't have media savvy. Perhaps they are, let's say the tech world, I'm going to go to the cliche side of the tech world. I'm going to say garage startup, 22-year-old CEO, and awkward. Let's say it's a person who is just somebody who is really proficient and really driven and a fantastic operator of a business, but is just socially awkward and has a hard time doing anything in the media. That person right there might go, I need to have somebody who can be maybe the voice and face of the company.
My feeling is that when company has a CIO, and this is my feeling, this is my view, this is not necessarily held by you or some of the others, but my view is if you have to have a CIO, that tells me that number one, you must not be a very good communicator. Number two is that you're afraid to address the questions. You're not very transparent. So the more you turn it over to an information officer, the more likely you are of being viewed as being non-transparent.
And you did the disclosure there at the beginning. So it's just your opinion, and it's obviously not going to apply in to every company out there with that going on. But you as a entrepreneur, as an investor, as a man in the industry, out there engaged in business daily, it's natural for you to have that thought come into your mind when you meet somebody who's spending the money to have a CIO early on in a smaller company. Logical questions, though. They're logical questions. I mean, you obviously have to explore a little bit more to find out if it's truly the case. But that's a real reaction that you can have, and that's something that people should think about.
Well, my company, Mike Crowell, was known for its transparency. And I never dodged an investor. I mean, I was at all the investor conferences. I had no problem taking the calls, these random calls. I actually liked interfacing with the public regarding the company because we're transparent. We didn't have anything to hide, and it was an easy job for me. Maybe they didn't get the answer they wanted, but they got the answer that I felt they should have. So I like to be able to communicate because I'm the one that's running the company.
And as a reporter, when I'm out there covering, when I was out there covering stories or calling organizations, when I dealt with Google, Facebook, and major companies, Tesla, and I remember one of the most available people was from Tesla, Elon Musk. I mean, whenever they were doing something, they had Elon talking. They didn't. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily the case with a lot of organizations. And I think you can tell the difference in the way the media covers something when they're hearing from the principal, and that's what we would call it in the business. So the principal person would be whoever it's not the spokesman for Senator Dianne Feinstein. It's Senator Dianne Feinstein, or it's not the spokesman for the president. It's the president who's doing the talking. You're liable to take more credibility from that person's comments and words and give more short shrift to when it's somebody's spokesman.
Well, jumping back to this political environment, I would rather, as an individual, I would rather hear 10 minutes from the president of the United States than a half an hour or an hour from his press secretary. So, that's my view. I know I'm getting hosed when I listen to the press secretary. But if I hear it from the president, and maybe he spends only 5 or 10 minutes, I'd rather have that than a half an hour, an hour with the press secretary.
Well, that's one of the reasons why this is such a wealth of information. Your Tough Things First podcasts are enlightening in so many ways. And obviously, Tough Things First, the book, which you can get out there on Amazon and other major retailers, is a great source of information because you're doing the talking. And you're not mincing the words. And because they're getting the straight dope from you, the reader is not, it knows, the reader or listener knows they're not getting hosed. And that's one of the reasons why I like doing the podcasts with you and quizzing you on all kinds of subjects because, getting the straight information is very helpful.
Well, thank you. And I think that hopefully our audience is feeling the same way. I've had a lot more experience than even our current president has, and maybe not in running the country, but in running a company. I've done it a lot longer than the current president. So, experience has helped me, and that's why I'm sharing this information at my sunset years of my life, is that I think that my experience helps in communicating some of these important issues.
Thank you again, Ray. I appreciate being back.
Well, thank you, Rob. Appreciate having you.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.